This episode is being recorded out of Shop Talk Podcast Studio in Oak Park, Michigan. For more information, visit shoptalkpodcaststudio.com.
What up, though? We back with another episode of Dame After Dark. I want to shout out my last guest, Tamika, for coming through, spreading love, talking about her sex parties. Be sure that you're following her on all the socials. I'm going to drop her info in the show notes. So if you're interested in attending, you know, you can come on out and support us. It's a good time. But we back for a new episode, man. I got a guest that I've been wanting to talk to for a minute because I just saw that he had a real interesting story. We've been conversing on the socials, man, what, 3-4 years at least? And I know he's been a big supporter of Shop Talk Podcast, a big supporter of Dame After Dark. And we finally got
this
the man.
Week in culture, all that.
Yeah. This Week in Culture? Okay.
Yeah.
And we got the man, the myth, the legend, Rambo in the building with us. What up, though, Rambo?
Yes. It's Rambo the Q Dog in here. Michigan State Q Dog.
Okay.
What up, Dame?
What up, though? What up, though?
Veteran Rambo.
Actually. Strip club veteran.
Yes.
How you earn? Get close. If you can get a little closer for
yes,
me.
Yes,
I appreciate it.
I can be right in the mic. What's up?
How'd you earn the name Strip Club Veteran?
Well, I just took the name because, well, full story.
Okay.
When I came home from college, we was in the middle of the recession.
Like, so was this 94, 95?
No, this 2006.
Oh, okay, okay.
That recession when all the bailouts was going on.
I got
everything.
You.
My degree was in economics, so I couldn't find a job. My frat brother was running the Rolex on the east side.
Okay.
East 7 Mile. Now, me, from the west side, I wasn't familiar with that area. I had no idea I was in the red zone.
Oh, yeah. 4205.
I had no idea I was in the red zone, but I needed a job. So, hey, frat brother, like, I got you. Just come up there. You could be security.
Okay.
So I'm pretty much risking my life making, like, the least money in the club because I'm security.
Right.
So, well, actually, before that, I used to work at Deja Vu in Lansing.
Okay.
I was security there, too, so.
They still get butt naked at the View in Lansing, too?
I'm not sure now.
But back in the day, they did?
Definitely used to.
Okay.
I used to love it. I've been going to strip clubs since I was about 16.
Okay.
At Erotic City on the East 7 Mile.
Look, man, Erotic City used to be my spot. My barber, I was dating this young lady from the East Side, and I was getting my hair cut every Saturday on the East Side. My barber would always set up my cut where he would cut me right before he went to lunch. So sometimes we hit buddies. We might hit Mandy's or something. And one day he was like, I'm going up to Erotic City. You want to roll? Because I had never been. And, man, we was hooked. I was at Erotic with him like every Saturday. You talking about your first strip club at like 16. I remember, man, what was it on 8 Mile? It was right on 8 Mile in the Lodge.
Yeah.
I think it was Show
Heat or something.
It might have been Showgirls. Because you couldn't have no liquor in. Well, they didn't serve liquor, but you could bring. It was like BYOB, and since it was BYOB, the girls got butt naked.
Yeah.
But I remember like the first time, like me really getting into strip clubs. So I used to rap real heavy back in the day, and I got one of my very first shows was booked at the Bear Facts down in Southwest. It's a little hole in the wall.
Never been there. I'm surprised I had to hear about a club I've never been to. Be
honest. Oh, man, this club, like, this was like 98, 99. It was a little hole in the wall joint back in the day called Bear Facts. And, man, we used to, that's where I learned like some valuable rules. You don't touch the pole for no reason.
I don't even want to know why you was touching the pole, man.
You know, I was rapping, getting into shit.
Oh,
and
okay.
I just
stage.
Like, okay. Oh yeah, I wasn't trying to spin from that bitch. I just grabbed the motherfucker, and niggas was like, I could see the look of niggas in the audience. I was like, I did something wrong, and yeah, the pole filler, whatever solution they putting on it, so the girls can slide up and down. You know, it take a while for that shit to wash off your hands. So, you know, learned a valuable lesson that evening. But I see you still kind of active in the club life.
Yes. I love the strip club, man. Well, I can't say I love it.
Okay.
I end up getting pretty much, what should I say? My luck with women is at the bottom of the barrel.
Okay.
I must say, like,
Just meeting the wrong ones, or just
no? My ability to Casanova or Romeo a woman?
Okay,
never been good at it.
All right.
Never been. I've always tried to align myself to where women flock to me.
Okay.
Like high school, captain of the football team, college, Q dog. Then once I graduated, trying to get rich, truck driving, that whole list of men who fuck all kind of women, I done tried all them jobs.
Okay.
truck driving, trainer. I ended up being a stockbroker for a while.
Okay.
But it was all about, really, it was all about trying to get women, trying to get one who I had a crush on since like sixth grade.
Okay.
And no matter what I did, high school, college, after that, nothing made her flock to me, which I still get mad about. I'm blocked on everything to this day, by the way. Okay. But yeah, I never been good with women. So the strip club kind of became my comfort zone. Like, yeah, true enough, none of these women gonna go home with me and none of that. But that little bit of attention that I get in the strip club has always been my solace, I say.
Okay.
Like you watch Players Club.
Absolutely.
You Players Club. Okay. I'm not like the rappers or whatever that was all in there stunting and throwing money around. I'm like Myron. I'm the guy with the little $10, like, hey, I just want me a lap dance. That's all, you know. You could, if you want to go make some money, don't come over here because I just want a lap dance.
I feel you.
And that's how I've always been. Until, of course, once I got out the hospital, I was the guy with the bag. And that's when it became like full-blown strip club Rambo, club veteran Rambo. Like, I tried to manage over at the Crazy Horse. We ended up getting shut down, but, like...
Which one? Off Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was the Crazy Horse over there. I was working with... shout out to DJ Lish. He gave me a chance to be a manager at the strip club, and that I felt like he really put me on... You would have thought I was Big Meech the way I used to walk in there, because I used to love it. Like, I'm working at a strip club. This is my life.
So I always wonder, because, like, when I was younger, I thought the best job in the world would be a DJ at a strip club, because I can eat there, look at naked women, and play whatever type of rap music I want to play all day long. But now, as I got older, I know, you know, like anything else, it's a business. It don't work like that. What's it like? Kind of break down a day as a strip club manager. What time does your day start?
It's not always cracked up to be. Like, pretty much your day start whenever you wake up, because you done worked all night. You probably didn't get home to about almost 4 o'clock in the morning. So you just slept to about noon.
Okay.
And you wake up, you know, making calls, making flyers for whatever's coming up next, calling girls, seeing if they're coming to work, trying to call different rappers and what, you know, trying to, most of the work goes outside of the club.
Okay.
Like, once you get to the club, it's like church. Like, most of the good work is done outside of the church. Once you get to church, it's like a party. Strip club is like the same thing. Like, most of the work is recruiting people, calling, booking rappers, calling all your friends, telling them to come up to the club. All that happens before you get to work. Once you get there, it's pretty much, it's just fun to me.
But I would figure, like, don't promoters handle, like, you know, trying to get the rappers in there, or, like, maybe you got a girl that's, you know, got a big name out there or something. Like, they kind of want to come to the club and show out, especially if it's a popping-ass night.
Ideally, yeah, but you're not going to have them popping nights if you're not putting in the legwork.
Okay.
Like, nowadays, it's more focused on that because the girls got their own following. They don't have to work at your club for people to come see them. They can work down the street, literally. If you walk, you got 8 Mile, you got a club almost on every block.
Absolutely.
So it's not, you got this special girl, Diamond from Players Club, that only works at this club. It's not like that anymore.
I mean, I get it. Like, with social media, women can be a lot more enterprising.
Yes.
You know, if you got somebody that's about their money, they can kind of like promote themselves and, yes, like, look, I'm going to be here Tuesday, I'm gonna be here Wednesday, come see me.
That's exactly, you know what goes on nowadays. That's exactly how it is. The girls, the following goes behind the girls. So that's also your customer base. So if that girl leave your club, she decide to work, say she work at Ace of Spades today, then tomorrow she work at Club Truth, everybody that follows her gonna go to Truth. So
okay.
You wanna keep your club the place they wanna be at.
So what's the incentive to make the girls wanna dance at your club?
We can try all kind of things. Let them work there for free, give them free drinks, or you know, just give them, try to get them incentives, or like tell them they free food, free drink, anything, or they ain't got to pay the tip out. The tip out is what the girls pay to work at the club.
Right.
So we're going to do free tip out tonight if you come. If you bring a bunch of customers, you know, you can get free tip out a week or something. Like that. It's a bunch of incentives we make up pretty much throughout the day.
So I used to know this girl that her thing was like she would do a bunch of one night onlys. She might do one night only every month.
Yeah, that's kind of illegal.
Is it? So explain to me how that's illegal.
Well, everybody who works in the adult entertainment industry has to have a cabaret card.
Okay.
You get that from the police station, and you got to be registered as an adult entertainer. I even had to get the card when I was a manager because I worked there.
Okay.
So the girls who do one night onlys, that's literally supposed to be one night only.
Okay.
Like, you're not supposed to be able
to. So maybe that's why she stopped doing that shit. It was illegal as fuck. But, like, that would be her, like, whole little stick.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be, you know, at Starving Marvin's Monday the 19th if you want to come see me. And, like, she had, like, a really big Instagram following. I mean, she was finer than a motherfucker.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she had, like, a regular, like, 9-to-5 working at the plant. So, like, she ain't necessarily need stripping, but it was like, she was like, look, it's a
hustle.
It's a quick bag.
Yes. The strip club game is a hustle.
Okay.
For everybody there. The DJ, hustling. The owners, hustling. The chef, hustling. The strippers, hustling. Like, the house mom, hustling. Everybody in there is hustling. There is no guaranteed money for nobody. Everybody in there hustling.
So I always see or I always hear about dancers complaining about the tip out. Like, it's not that expensive, I would think, if you hustle.
They hate paying it, though. Just because it's like you paying to come to work. Now, you understand business side of things. You know, if you're working at what they call it, 1040 job or 1020?
1099
job. Okay, so
you're an independent contractor.
Strippers are independent contractors like that. Like, I'm not your boss. You can come in and go however you please. But if you want to work here, this is how much you got to pay. To like people who do hair, they got to pay the booth rent.
Right.
Like, if you want to do your business here, this is how much you got to pay. So it's kind of the same kind of situation, but strippers got to pay every day. Every day they come in the club, tonight the tip out is this. And they hate that because it's like.
Does it fluctuate depending on the day?
Yes.
Okay, because I would figure like.
On high power nights, it goes up. But, you know, regular nights, it'd be like $20, $30. It ain't nothing real serious, but they just, you know. You ever ask a woman for some money? Like, that's what it is. Okay. Every night. Like, that's what you got.
Oh, no, they be tight with money. They be tight with money. Even if they be tight with money. So I get it.
I got a girl right now owe me $50. One of the strippers. I just sit here. I sit there and watch her make like $500, $600. I'm like, can I get my 50? I'm broke now. I'm like, girl, I just see you put $500 in your pocket. Like, but you know, that's asking a girl for money is always going to be a struggle.
So tip out is not paid like before they hit the stage? Because I figured, just supposedly, in my opinion, I figured that's a better way of doing business instead of like waiting till the end of the night. Because anytime you pay for entertainment, you always pay first and then get the entertainment. You know what I'm saying? If you go to the movies, you pay first before you watch the movie. You don't get to watch it and be like, nah, I ain't like that shit, so I ain't paying.
No, see, now you're still coming as a customer. When you contractor, I say that as a stripper, you want to come there, make your money, and pay out of that. Now, if you got a reputation of running out without paying, then the people at the club will put your name on the list, as I'm going to just call it right now, and these girls got to pay up front when they come back. So,
okay.
Yeah. It's,
so the word get around pretty quick that...
Oh, yeah. All the strip club people know each other.
I figure it's like just a smaller community of people.
Yes. All the strip club people know each other. Like, my name has gotten bigger since I tried to be a manager. Like, actually, this coming Wednesday, I'm going to be at Club Truth.
Okay. What you doing, just hosting?
No, I'm throwing a party there. The new manager over there asked me to come in and do the Wednesdays. I'm like, okay.
Okay, but, so you bring the crowd out with you then?
Yes, that's the whole point. Like, you want to, everybody in the club is part of promotions. Like, it's not just the strippers. It's, you know, Rambo, get all your boys to come. Whoever is in the club, if you security, we still want you to tell your people to come.
Okay.
Because the key is to get people in the bar.
I mean, that's where bars make their money, is people exactly. buying drinks,
buying the door, all that. Buying booths. You know, strip clubs, everybody got to get a booth.
Yeah, that strip clubs, I feel like when that whole booth thing started, it kind of started like in the whole strip club era, because nobody just want to be standing up all night.
No. That it sucks. And a lot of the clubs are moving towards only booths.
Okay.
So you go to Pantheon, it's a bunch of seats. But if you watch Pantheon, if you've been going for a while, you notice more and more of the seats are getting taken away. Like, it's
I mean, you got to do what's best for business. And if
yeah.
booth $1,000 plus will give you a bottle or something. Like,
yeah.
if it's 10 of y'all, yeah. that's probably the better investment for things. I mean, because niggas going to spend, if you and your homeboys going to the bar, you anticipate y'all going to buy some drinks, yeah. you know, get something to eat. You could even on a light night, you can easily spend $200.
Easy.
And you ain't really even like did shit. Like, you done sat down. Like, no, for real. You done sat down. Maybe it's a 2-drink minimum. You done had a bucket of Coronas or something. And you might have ordered some shit on the happy hour menu. And shit, nigga, that's
I know
$150,
exactly
$200 right there.
Like, long before I was working at the strip club, I would do a lot of light nights because I was broke. Like, I've been doing strip clubs. Blew my refund checks in strip clubs.
Okay.
Like, back in college. Man, I've been doing this for a while. But, yeah, like, even as the manager, I would have a light night every time I go. I'm going to drink a bunch of brews, try to mess with a couple dancers, get a couple lap dances just because I'm there.
Right.
So I like the environment. A lot of people get in the club business, they really don't care for their environment. They more so into making money. I did it because I love the job. Okay. I've always been taught that if you get you a job you love going to, as opposed to something that making you the most money, because you still got to be there every day, no matter how much money you're making.
Okay.
So get something you like being at. So that's why I like strip club. That's why I like working in the strip club.
Okay.
Even if I don't work at the strip club, I'm probably going to be there a lot. Like, I'm at least once a week kind of guy.
Okay.
At the very least, on my brokest of broke days, I'm a once a week kind of guy.
Okay. And you said, like, when you got the bag, it kind of turned you up a little bit at the strip club.
Oh, yes. That's, like I told you, I never had luck with women, so when you got the bag, like, I've never been the guy who women flock to. When you got the bag, strippers flock to you. Like, that's just how they are. That's part of their job. They try to, you know, they it's a pocket-watching environment, and you know that. As a customer, you know that. Whoever got the bag, that's who the stripper's going to flock to.
Okay.
So I was loving that part of life when I had the bag. Coming fresh out of that accident I had in 2019, I had the bag.
Okay.
Strippers, the whole club know as soon as I walk in.
I feel you.
And I'm literally just sitting at the bar trying
to play the air horns for you, ramble up in this bitch.
Yeah. Yes. And I hated that part because I'm used to being the Myron, the guy who sit off in the corner. All I want is a couple of lab dances, you know. But I'd be sitting at the bar. They're like, shout out to Rambo, just walked in. Like, all right, whatever. But don't. to this day, I still tell them, like, man, don't be saying my name over the mic. I don't want everybody looking at me like I'm the one with the bag. Because Now, and I'm handicapped, so.
I mean, that shit could get dangerous, too.
Exactly.
That shit can get dangerous.
And like, I'm the old-ass, bald-ass, handicapped-ass nigga walking out this bitch in a cane by myself. Like,
what? Like you said, everybody pocket watching. It ain't just the dancers. You know, the wolves is out, too, and they pocket watching.
Everybody is pocket watching in the strip club. So it's usually a good night is everybody in the strip club got the bag. So ain't nobody giving a fuck what you're doing. I'm about to outdo you.
Okay.
That's where the throwing money gets crazy. Like when people start to try to outdo each other. But me, no, I've never been I need a lot of attention kind of guy.
So you said you've been in the strip clubs for a minute. What are some of the things that you've seen kind of like change over the last 10 years of you, you know, hitting the strip club pretty regularly?
The Make It Rain era. That changed the whole game.
Okay.
Now it's to a point where the strippers don't even want to do a lap dance. They want you to throw the money at them. Like, they not going. It was a time where the strippers would walk around and ask you, you want me to dance for you? Oh, hey, how you doing? They try to be your friend, try to be friendly and all that. All that is gone. You go in the club now, the girls, they might look at you, they might not. If they come over to you, they're not going to say hi. They're just going to start shaking their ass and expect you to just throw money at them.
Okay.
That's not my groove. Like, I want a lap dance here.
So the approach has gotten a little bit more lazy from the dancers.
Man, it's terrible.
Okay.
The younger these girls get, the more they don't want to do lap. Like, these girls don't want nothing. They don't even want to seem like they like you. Like, it used to be an environment where they had to pretend to like you a little bit to make you motivated to give them some money.
Right.
It's not like that anymore.
So I remember the young lady that you hooked me up with a few months ago, Lotus.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, she was telling me, like, she go to the club some nights and all she do is, like, pole tricks because, like, she don't feel like being touched.
Yeah.
She don't want no niggas near her. Like, she not walking through the club. She just on stage, get her money, and wait for her next time to, like, come up on stage.
That's how it is. Okay, that's how most of the girls are nowadays.
You know, I just figured it was something different because she, you know, she's a little bit younger than, she's just younger.
All the strippers are younger. They got the strippers, the typical stripper got like a 5 to 10 year lifespan in the strip club environment. So
that's a long time.
Yeah, that's a long time. 10 years is a long time to be a stripper, but.
Because I've always figured, I look at stripping like playing in the NFL. You know, you only going to get, you know, most niggas in the NFL got a 3-year career.
Yeah.
Like, that's the average NFL career. Now, you see, you got your superstars that, you know, everybody get a little bit more out of it. Yeah, but it ain't a bunch of Marshawn Lynch's. It ain't a bunch of Aaron Rodgers or Pat Mahomes. Like, they in and out. And I always looked at the same thing with stripping. You know, I remember. Shit, man. My homeboy probably got married. We was in early 30s. And I remember going down to the Bouzouki Club with him downtown. And Main Attraction was dancing. And I remember, like, being a young nigga and seeing her, like, watching a new dance show late as fuck. And she was on, like, the Henry's and Watts commercials back in, like, the early 90s. I'm like, nigga, she been at this shit damn near 20 years. She's still down here. You know, trying to get a few dollars. And I'm not trying to disparage her, but, like, at that point, she was a woman of a certain age.
Man.
And the strip club looks a little bit different. I imagine it'd be hard to make money, and you got, you know, young, fit, pretty in there every night, and you late 30s, early 40s, still trying to do pole tricks.
I only know one girl who's still in the game in her 40s. And she got, like, the augmented bodies and all that. You know,
yeah.
She still look good, still know how to twerk, all that. But, like I said, I've been doing this a long time. When I was working at the Rolex on the east side, I met a young lady who was dancing. And then she quit a few years later. Since I've been out the hospital, guess who I met?
Her daughter?
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Yes. She told me, like, you know my mama, she used to work with y'all. I'm like, do I know your mama?
Is her daughter dancing?
Yeah.
They passing it down.
Yeah, like, But I didn't been in a club where I didn't see mama and daughter together. Yeah, I didn't see it. Like, I didn't, anything you can imagine in a strip club.
That's crazy. That's crazy that you a vet that long that you teaching your daughter the game. You passing it down.
I've, man.
What's the wildest shit you done seen in a strip club?
The wildest shit?
Yeah, man. Seen in a strip club. That you can talk about.
Yeah, I'm trying to live it, what I'm thinking about right now. Had to be when I was working there. Because this young lady asked me, how do you get to the men's restroom? Like, I was right over there. Then I thought about it. Like, why the hell is you going to the men's restroom? Because she ran right over there. Like, what the fuck is you going to the men's restroom for? So I go over there and check it out because I'm the manager. Man, the first stall, literally, they didn't even try to hide. They wasn't in the handicap stall, the big one, or nothing. They was in the first stall. This guy was blowing her back out.
You got to get the fuck out. You got to get the fuck out.
I let it do it. I let it happen. I let it happen because I'm like, all right, man, whatever. Because I told you I've been doing this a long time. I done did all that type of shit before. All in VIP, all that shit, man. But,
you know, I remember the song back in the day, There's No Sex in the Champagne Room.
Bullshit.
But it'd be going down back there.
By law, it's not. But
couple dollars, good little, you know, you talk to the right one.
It got to be the right one. It's like a lot of guys who are not familiar with the strip club think they could just go in there and pick one. It's not like that. It's you got to know who you're dealing with if you want to take it that far.
Okay.
With anything you do in a strip club, you got to know who you're dealing with.
I mean, I think that's just dating or dealing with women, period.
Yes, but some people view the strippers as different. Like, all these women is hoes. I'm like, no, they're not. You don't like, some of them are. Don't get me wrong. But some of them are not. And they get irritated when a guy assumes that they hoes just because they stripping.
Okay.
Like you said, some women got regular jobs. They just doing this for a little hustle. They trying to get in, get out, make a little bit of money. But
pay for school.
Yeah.
Get them a new charger, SRT. You know what I'm saying?
Or feed their kids. Like, it's, you know, everybody needs a hustle at the end of the day. There's nobody out here who just don't need some more money every once in a while. Like, I don't care where you work at. There come a time where shit get heavy on you and you just need to make a couple dollars.
Like, I tell this to my sons all the time because he just, like, kind of getting in. He in school, but he just kind of getting in the workforce a little bit, making them a little paper. And I said, man, there's no such thing as enough money.
Never.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I talked to him the other day. He was like, well, you know, she said I ain't really have to come in today because we ain't have a lot of work to do. I said, you better get your ass the fuck up and go to work because it may not seem, you know, he working part-time. So, I mean, the 2 hours that you would have to work may not seem like shit. And I'm like, nigga, it add up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need shit. You need your cell phone page. You need groceries. You want to buy nice gym shoes. Like, you got to go the fuck to work.
That reminds me of that Bible story where you don't do what today, well, you don't know what's coming tomorrow. So you got to take care of what happens, what you got to do today. Make sure you do it good because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
Yeah.
So that's, I look at that like making money. Like, you need to make as much money as you can today because you don't know. You might be in an accident tomorrow.
It's always going to rain.
Yes.
The rain always coming.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's just the ebb and flow of life. You know, you get some shiny days, but like sometimes when the rain hit, that motherfucker hit.
And you never know what you got to spend the money on. Like, money you can't spend is no good to me. I don't even believe in, like, 401ks, retirements, none of that. Like, I can't work my whole life and then retire making less money than I made when I was working.
So I got a partner of mine that's a financial advisor, and he gave me, like, this little bit of game. He was like, you know, say your 401k, you work until you got $1 million in it. $1 million seemed like a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? But he was like, now, mind you, you 60, you got to live off this $1 million till you die. And we talking maybe $1 million 25 years from now. It's going to look a lot different than what $1 million looked like in 2024. He was like, that's why you see so many older folks. He's like, they still in the, that's why they greeters at Walmart. They doing part-time gigs because, like, they still got bills to pay. Like, even if you
see it on TV, Snoop Dogg still working.
Yeah.
Steve Harvey still working. These is rich people.
Yeah.
They still working.
I mean, jobs ain't giving out pensions no more. There's no more 30 and out and you get you a lifetime pension. Everybody that gives some type of retirement has basically moved to the 401k system, and
I hate it. I hate that. You taking my money, taking money out of my check right now, so I'm living off less. Then once I retire, you trying to make sure I get 75% of what I'm making now. Now, if I retire 20 years from now, making 75% less than what I was is not worth the same thing 20 years from now. Like,
yeah,
it's terrible. I don't know. Any job I done lost, I done lost plenty of them. Any job I done lost, I cleared out my 401k. Like, yeah, give me that. I'm going to live off that until I find another job. Like,
nigga, every time I've been fortunate enough, I haven't lost a lot of jobs. But the two times I've been fired or separated from a job, got my severance pay, I need that 401k too.
Yeah.
I need it. I need it. And I know that check can be there in 48 hours.
And you got kids. Like, I know you got to get your money. Like,
you call Fidelity, tell them, hey, they done released me. They already got the record. Send that check. Send that check because I need it. Send that direct deposit.
Yeah.
Because I need it. If today, Monday, and you call them, that money will be there by Wednesday.
But I hear people talk about their 401k. Like, I got so much money in my 401k, I'm going to be set for life. Like, no, you're not.
Then retire now. Retire now, then.
Yeah. Like, no, that's not going.
And the crazy thing about it.
I used to be a financial planner, too, by the way. So, yeah.
Okay. But the crazy thing about it, like, my parents died. Shit, man. My mother was early 60s. My pops was a little, like, probably 66, 67 when he passed. And he might have got 4 or 5 years out of his retirement. And the way that, like, some of his pensions were set up, they didn't roll over to me and my sister. They was just like,
wow,
there were no survival benefits. So, like, he had all this money sitting there, but you only get a check as long as you're alive. So, I mean, I look at it like he worked damn near 40 years. The only reason he retired is because when my mother passed, she passed first, he was like, I can't go back. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to come out. And, like, he was doing good for himself, but he was like, I'm just going to come out, retire, and just live off of this money. And in our minds, we had these grandiose ideas that I'm going to live to 80, 85. But, like, in all honesty, black people, especially black men, typically don't see that. My grandfather passed before 65. He never touched that. He never got a chance to touch his pension or live retirement life. And he worked his whole. And I'm sure my grandmother got something when he passed. But I'm like, to work your whole life or to die before you can really enjoy it. Like, to me, that ain't living.
Man, I didn't almost lost. I did lose my life before. Like, after that, I just don't even care about retirement. None of that, because I'm not really expecting to go past 50 at this point. Like, after that, after dying and coming back, I'm like, man.
Do you want to talk about, or you care to talk about the accident?
We can talk about it.
Okay, because, you know, I've always seen you on the socials with this knee brace. And when you walked in here, you told me that, like, back in the day, or I'll let you tell your own story.
I was truck driving at one point. When I parked my truck, I walked across the street to eat. Once I got done eating, I'm walking back to my hotel, and the car come swipe me off the street. Like, did 2 flips in the air, fell on my head. So, cracked my head open, broke my neck, cracked 3 ribs, broke my arm, broke my pelvis, my leg, everything. Head to toe, I was damaged, and I was in a coma for a month. So, when I woke up out of that coma, my whole focus was, whatever I want to get done in this life, I'm about to do. I don't care what happens. What I want to get off my chest, I'm about to get it off my chest. I don't care what happens. And that's how I live life now, day to day. Whatever I want to do, I'm about to do it.
Okay.
Like, I don't care, because you never know. Because when I woke up, I just started thinking about all the stuff that I didn't do when I was full body individual, like ready to go, ready to approach the world in any kind of whatever came to me. So that's how I look at life now. And that's when I switched my name to Strip Club Veteran Rambo, because I'm the old nigga in the club now. I'm like 40-something, and I look like Unk. They call me Unk when I be in the bar. So,
no, I can understand that sentiment. I've been very vocal and honest about some of my health challenges on Shop Talk, and I just always remember, like, you know, there was a point in time I spent like damn near 10 days in the hospital. I didn't know if I was, you know, I was in and out of consciousness. Like, I was fucked up.
Yeah.
And I remember I was like, look, I really understood that you only get one time around this motherfucker.
Yes.
And we always put off shit to be like, yo, I got next week to do that. Next year, I'm going to do this.
You don't.
But like, yo, the one thing you not promised is time. Yeah. And, you know, everybody knows I'm pretty heavily tatted up. I remember on my birthday, my 40th, I was like, I'm going to tattoo my neck. And everybody's like, oh, that's a bad idea. You got to work. You know, you got to make money. I'm just like, but nigga, I'm always going to have to work. I'm always going to have to make money. But like, yo, this is just some shit that I just want to do. I don't want to wait until I got a comfortable amount of money to do what I want. Like, nigga, doing what you want ain't tomorrow, just not promise. And if you don't do it today, it might never get done.
My mama still preached that to me. Save your money. You don't never know what's coming. Well, death might come, so ain't no sense in me saving nothing. I don't believe in saving money anymore. That's just not going to work for me.
Okay.
Because I don't. What if I die tomorrow? I've already died. So what? Like, I could die. I'll be lucky if I make it home today. In all truth.
No, we don't understand how blessed we are to leave the house every morning and come back home at night, because there's no guarantee. Like you said, you got hit in the middle of the street. Niggas die from stray bullets
all the time.
Every day. You go to the gas station thinking shit's sweet, and maybe it's an altercation at the gas station, bullets spraying, and like, niggas don't make it, and especially living in Detroit, like, niggas don't make it home like that. So
I still got enemies that I don't know if they looking for me or not, but I don't care, because what they gonna do to me? The worst they could do is kill me. Somebody already tried that. So it's not. I'm like, I came back from the hospital like Tupac, to be honest. Okay. Like, that's who I looked up to growing up. I mean, my favorite rapper was Snoop Dogg, by the way. But Tupac is what I started to embody, because after he got out of the hospital, he went on a tear. And I look up to that now, because when I got out of the hospital, that's what I was trying to do. Like, I feel invincible.
I want to do everything.
Yeah.
I feel you.
Like, that's my whole, you know, goal right now.
It's crazy, because right before I got sick, like, the year started off so lit for me. Like, I was everywhere dealing with all type of different shit, dealing with a bunch of different women. I was like, some ain't like my life be crazy, but like, that shit was just going crazy. But maybe it's because like, God knew he was gonna sit me down for a second. Like, you might as well get it in, because you're gonna have to sit down for a minute. So
people keep telling me that now, like, you living life like you living like you have no tomorrow. Like, I feel like I don't. If it come, if it don't, I will. I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish out of life.
Okay.
I will die with no regrets, because I woke up out of death realizing that I got stuff I wasn't able to do. So anything I want,
I'm sure I still got goals you want to accomplish.
Not now. I've done everything I want. The last couple years, man, I've been everywhere. When I was truck driving, I was a strip club regular all over the country. I'm a regular at Blue Flame. I am. Like, the Blue Flame was right across the street from the truck stop. Like, it's clubs in Texas. I had to hit up my man Wes down there. Shout out to Wes. He was Kappa. I used to hit him up when I get down there. Like, take me to the bar, man. Let's go to Onyx or something. I don't know, but Florida, North Carolina, all these places.
I hear down south strip clubs is just a completely different environment. I know they get butt naked down south.
Honestly, I like Detroit better.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I like, because I don't know if it's my comfort zone or what, but if I go to Atlanta, when I come back and get off the plane, I gotta stop at Pantheon or something. Like, I gotta go to the Detroit club, because it's like I missed it.
What's your favorite? Give me your top three spots up here right now.
it's not a top spot. Because I'm more of a top stripper kind of guy.
Okay. Any names we should be looking for, some young ladies we should check out? Don't keep them to yourself now.
No. I'd say probably the top one right now, Cashmere, Beautiful Mind, Beyond Beautiful Mind on Instagram or something like that.
Okay.
Miss Jazz Business. That's a new girl. Just came from New York. But she worked down at Tycoon's.
Over off 8 Mile?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one 50 Cent bought out. And,
yeah.
Well, he actually didn't buy it out. But whatever. I don't know how they worked it out. But, yeah, she worked down there. Little Andot, ATL. It's a bunch of them, man.
Okay.
Little Ruby down at the Sting. Like, it's like a Lotus.
Oh, she's a beautiful woman.
Yes. I know all of them.
And she was cool as a fan.
Hunter. Big Titty Hunter. Oh, my God. Been in love with her forever.
Okay.
Man, it's a lot of them I like. I can't even point them down to top three. Like, it's... I can't even remember all their names. You know, God bless y'all if y'all out there heard ramble on this. I ain't forget. Well, I probably forgot your name. I just can't think of it now. But, yeah, this is a lot of them I love.
Okay.
I'm like the one they laugh at. Like, Rambo got a crush on everybody. I'm like, well, kind of do, huh?
Hey, man, I always got a crush on beautiful women. One thing I did want to ask you before we tie things up. Is that I've been following your socials, and I see you've been back and forth with a certain young lady. It appears that there was some type of dispute. What's going on there, man? She looks like she might have been a dancer in her time.
She was one of them one-night-only girls.
Okay.
Now, before I started working at the Crazy Horse, I went up there, and I was meeting different girls. Princess Planet on Instagram. I can't think of her dance name no more. But yeah, like, this girl, I met her at the Crazy Horse and we got to dating. Then I found out how old she was. Turned out she's like 20. Met her mom. I'm older than her mom. I'm like, shit.
Okay. That ain't gonna work.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, she talking about, like, she in school to be a nurse and all this. So I'm like, all right, maybe you could be my home care nurse.
Okay.
So I invite her into my life, and she just starts acting crazy all of a sudden, like, making fun of me for being handicapped and brain dead or whatever. Like, I got brain injuries and all that. So she started making fun of me, and then started, like, trying to play with me, like, try to steal my stuff. I snatched my Carties right off my face while we in the car. I'm like, you gonna snatch a Detroit nigga Carties? Are you out your mind? Well,
wait, yeah. She tried to snatch him and jump out or something?
No, she just did it to see what I do. I'm driving. Well, I'm dropping her off at home, so ain't nothing I can do. She snatched him right off my face, act like she was just playing. Cut her off at that point.
Okay.
Now, a couple months later, we back in touch or whatever. I'm like, well, I'm about to go to the Crazy Horse. You want to go? This bitch, she go with me, and you know I'm doing my Rambo thing because this one I got the bag, making it rain, all kind of shit. Lo and behold, this girl sitting in the booth with me, stealing money off the table. Next thing I know, the dancer who was dancing about to beat her ass, like, bitch, you put my money in your pocket, blah 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 blah. The security kicked us out. They walked me to the car. Security walking behind me. I'm like, they're escorting us out? He's like, nah, she got a whole bag in her coat. We sitting in the car, and she go up under her coat and pull out a whole bag of money. I'm like, what are you doing? You're stealing money from the strippers? Like, I can't believe you. Okay. So I got to try to take her home. She went bananas. Like, her homegirl was with us. She let her homegirl out the car, and she refused to get out of my car. Next thing you know, she hitting me, elbowing me. I told you I got one arm, so I can't really do nothing with her. She ripping down the rearview mirrors. Had to get a whole new windshield on my car, all that. This went on to about 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. So after she finally get out, I'm like, man, fuck this bitch. Now, the next day, she reaching out to me, talk about she left her phone in my car. I'm like, I don't know where your phone at. My car in the shop, because your ass done broke my windshield. The fuck? Right. Fuck her. I ain't dealing with her. She called me when I was on my way to therapy, because I was taking physical therapy at the gym.
Okay.
Since she knew I went home, this bitch kicked my door in. Talk about she came to get her phone. She broke in my house, stole my bus, stole my PlayStation 5. This one, PlayStation 5, is like $800. You can right. just go get one.
No, I remember during the pandemic, niggas was taxing.
Yeah, then stole my J's. I had, you know them J's that lace up by themselves?
I thought those were like the Marty McFly joints.
They had them Jordans like that.
Okay.
$500 a watt. Came with a charger stand because it was electricity that tied the shoes up.
Right.
Never wore them. Never took them out the box. This bitch stole them. I had the powder blue ones. I'm a Mumford Mustang, by the way.
Okay.
I had the powder blue Jordans that lace up by themselves. This bitch stole them because she knew exactly what they was to me. Like, dude, I was saving these to wear them to a Mumford game because I used to play football at Mumford. I like to go up there and stunt sometimes.
I feel you.
So, yeah, she like broke in my house. Oh, stole all the stuff she think I care about.
Okay.
In the coat that I bought her. Like, I had that, it was after, right, it was like February. So, I had bought her like a coat and some boots for Christmas. My neighbors got the, you know, the Ring cameras and all that. I watched this girl run into my house, literally kick my door. That's what woke my neighbors up. They came outside looking at her, and then they sent me all the videos.
That's this bitch crazy.
Kicking my door in, walking out my house with my stuff. I've been searching for this girl ever since. This was like February 2002. I've been searching for her ever since. She already on probation.
Or 22.
Yeah, 2022.
Okay.
She already on probation for kicking my door in. Tomorrow, she got to go to court for Detroit for tearing up my car. And she think I'm a let it off. I'm a fall off her. I'm like, no. The Wayne County prosecutor called me today. Like, what do you want to see happen? Like, shit, I want to see this bitch under the jail. What the fuck you mean? My mama think I'm silly about it. Everybody think I'm silly about it. But I'm like, no. I paid somebody $1,000 because they couldn't find her. This, you know, broke bitch. She done got kicked out of her apartment. So she's sleeping on her homegirl couch. So there can't nobody find her.
Okay.
Yeah, so I done paid somebody $1,000 to find her. Tell me where she at. I put it on Instagram. That's that picture about. Like, that $1,000 went a long way.
Best $1,000 you ever spent in a minute, I'm sure.
Yes. Because it's really just to get my stuff back. And they not a court's playing with me, man. They telling me she ain't going to never give you that stuff back. We could try to make her pay restitution and all that. And this bitch, since she 20, she got that fucking HIDA shit. I ain't never heard of that shit.
Got what?
HIDA.
What's that? I ain't
exactly. Hit. This is some shit where kids can go on probation instead of get their felonies on their record. And if they violate probation, then the felony goes on their record. But if they don't violate probation, they get off.
Okay. Sort of like their record sealed.
Yeah.
All right.
So that shit pissed me off because we didn't have that growing up. Like, I've seen niggas get shot up, get carried off to the police while they 16. Like, that was normal to me back in the day. But now they got some new shit where these kids could do whatever they want to do and get that shit erased if they stay clean.
Okay.
So fuck that. I'm telling the prosecutor calling me, talking about she probably won't go to jail. Like, fuck that. You either go get my Jordans or that bitch going to jail. I don't give a fuck what she stole. Like, all in all, it's probably like 7-8 G's worth of shit she got. Fuck that shit. I want to see this bitch die. Like, I don't want to see this bitch flourish in life.
Okay.
But so I'm
you're going to prosecute to the fullest extent of the law.
Fullest extent of the law. Like, this bitch broke in my house. That's grounds to be killed.
Yeah. Like, I mean, she knew you weren't there. It's premeditated.
Yes. That's crazy. Girl, I could have took her life, but I didn't. I'm like, I let the police handle it, and now they telling me, well, you know, we're going to try to be safe for her. That's bullshit. I get a fucking DUI, These motherfuckers trying to got me in court for that's 3 months.
That's 10K right off the rip. 10, 15K right off the rip.
Right off the rip. That's to my lawyer.
Yeah. That ain't even. I mean, you still got to pay the city, all the fines.
Yes.
That's easy. Easy money gone.
This bitch, she done broke into my house, and they trying to take that shit off her record. I'm like, no.
Hey, man, I hope shit going your way. That's terrible.
I'm praying to go on my way.
Rambo, for people who aren't familiar with you, give them your socials. Where can they find you at? Give us some club nights you might be at. This probably won't come out till next week. So if you got anything coming up in the future, give a few nights, or at least give your socials so people can keep up with you and know where you at.
I am Strip Club Veteran Rambo on Instagram. If you're on Facebook, well, Instagram and OnlyFans, because I do that too. If you're on Facebook, just look me up as Brandon Rambus. That's my real name. I ain't scared to share that with nobody because I do whatever I want to do.
Okay.
I don't care who know who I am. I do whatever I want to do. So, yeah, catch me on Instagram, OnlyFans, and Facebook. Brandon Rambus on Facebook, Strip Club Veteran Rambo, everything else.
All right, that's what's up. Rambo, I appreciate you coming through, man. It's been a long time coming, interesting interview or conversation, rather. And I know you're trying to bring some of your peoples here with you, so we have to do a part two sooner than later. You bring your people down here, we have a good time.
I could try to get them in here, man. The scheduling kind of threw it off. We supposed to do this like last week. They were supposed to come, but I tell them it's going to be next week. Now they all backed out. You know, just I guess it's spring break, people going out of town or whatever. So
shit happens. I mean, that's just part of the game. Look, this your man Dame 3_313 on Instagram and TikTok. Wild Dame 313 on X/Twitter. This has been the latest episode of Dame After Dark. We'll be back at you soon.